Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and encourage each other in prayer. You know, the author, speaker Jim Rohn, an expert in personal development, just a prolific writer, once said that we are the combined average of the five people we associate with most. Numerous studies on human development support his thoughts. You know, we are affected by our environment, by those closest to us. And the people closest to us are the ones who get our ear and therefore have a strong influence in how we think and behave. One look into a middle school will support that. Just look at the way kids dress and behave. Maybe think back to when your kids were that age or grandkids. And then take a look at the five kids they hang around with most. No, these young preteens and teens are desperate to fit in. And so they will match how their closest friends dress, look, and talk, and behave. Their hairstyle, what they value, their priorities. Oh, they listen to the same music, and they look at how they treat other people and the activities they're engaged in. They look at what their friends do even more than what their parents say. They value what their friends think and do. It's called peer pressure. You know that. And it's a significant determiner of the direction a young person will go. If the peer pressure is generally positive, the young person will have a much better chance of heading in a positive direction as they mature. But if the peer pressure is negative, then that young person who is surrounded by negative has a much better chance of heading in a negative direction as they grow and mature. That's why so many parents and grandparents want to get to know their kids' friends, who they're hanging around with most. Because parents know the power of the peer group. However, peer pressure influence doesn't stop in middle school or high school. No, peer pressure is at work in our adult lives. I think we probably know that's true. But if you're not sure, think about the five people you hang around with most as an adult. How do they influence your thinking, your decisions, your behavior as an adult? Well, the power of peer pressure is the eighth essential of godly success, as Tommy Nelson writes in his book, The 12 Essentials of Godly Success, that we've been studying. In this eighth essential of godly success, the power of peer pressure, Tommy Nelson has written, quote, "You cannot be successful in life when you surround yourself with people who are not. You have to be very selective with who you allow close to you because they get your ear." Well, King Solomon, centuries ago, wrote this in Proverbs 13:20. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So think about the five people you hang around with most. Are they the first part of that parable or the second part? Are they the wise? Do you hang around with the wise and therefore you are growing wiser? Or are you a companion of fools? Now I know you might be thinking, but at work, I don't have a choice. Well, that can be so. But you can be the one who is the wise, affecting those who need to hear some wisdom. Tommy Nelson, in his book, The 12 Essentials of Godly Success, has written in chapter 8 these four principles to remember regarding peer pressure. Number one, be aware. You know, all we like sheep can grow astray if we let godless people influence us, even as adults. And they can cause us to have moral shyness, as he describes it. Meaning we tend to stay silent when we know we should speak up if we see or hear things that are not pleasing to God. It's not always popular to do that. It's not easy. That's why as Christians, We have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do things that on our own we could never do, or say things that we could never say. Now, we are to say them in a godly way, but we're not to be morally shy and stay silent, because that's misinterpreted as agreement. And we need to make sure that we're very aware. Number two, distinguish between a sick patient and those who are truly your friends. Distinguish between those who are, well, ill, meaning they're lost, they're sick on this world, and those who are truly your friends. You know, there are those in our lives who are lost. They are of this world. They do not know the Lord. And we who know the Lord are to be light for them. However, we're not to become like them. In other words, we don't need to do shots of whiskey to be able to witness to a friend who drinks too much. We are in this world, but not of it. So distinguish between those who are ill, because you're not to go and catch their disease, and those who are truly your friends. We are to witness, to be light and salt in a dark world, but not to become them. Number three, be certain of those you surround yourself with. Really get to know the five people you associate with most. Be certain of those you surround yourself with. Have a close group of godly friends who will hold you accountable, and you to them. Find biblically successful people that you will associate with. It may be that in your workplace or on your team, you know, there aren't many Christians, and you can tell, but you've got to work with them. You do your best. You be wisdom. You don't get into the mud with them. You be the one who stands for the truth. And then outside of that team, outside of that workplace, outside of that assignment, you find those who are godly, who can help strengthen you and uphold you and be wise, walking with wise. And number four, be willing, if necessary, to stand alone. Be willing, if necessary, to stand alone. Be willing to stand alone on God's truth. If your friends ever wobble, you know, even Christian friends, even godly friends, can have times where they might wobble in their faith, might question their faith, might act on something that you know God would not approve of, would not want for that person. Be there to encourage them, to speak truth, and even to have to stand alone if you have to. Because remember, with Christ, you never stand alone. He died for us, so we need to stand for him. As Tommy Nelson has written, quote, "One thing I can guarantee you," he says, "if you don't learn the lesson of this chapter on peer pressure, you will never get the godly success you desire." That got my attention. I hope it gets yours. So this week, let's think about the five people who influence us most. Let's consider how they help us fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And if they don't, then perhaps it's time for a change. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a message from God today that will encourage and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.